Shalom, Heberim. My friends, we are now moving into the heart and center of the wonderful and perhaps topical prophecies of Ezekiel concerning the restored people, Israel, and the restored land, Israel. In my penultimate message, we viewed with tranquil eyes the smiling picture of a peaceful nation, the nation of Israel, portrayed through the prophetic eyes of Ezekiel as being back in the beloved land, in wholesome rest. Israel tending his flocks in the verdant valleys. Israel plying his trades in honest industry. Israel cultivating his fields in sanguine expectation. Israel, liberated from the distorting pressures of the Galut, demonstrating his joyous Jewishness and his national consciousness. The scented blossoms of Sharon's thriving groves, the lazy lap of the blue-bosomed waters of the Mediterranean, Earth's feathered fronds and foliage, waving green greetings to the scudding clouds above. This was the tranquil warp upon which the sons and daughters of Israel wove the colorful threads of their manifold activities to produce the picturesque and restful tapestry of restored Israel, peacefully minding his own business. Peace. And no longer from its brazen portals the blast of war's great organ shakes the skies, but beautiful as songs of the immortals, the holy melodies of love arise. But wait. In my last message, we raised our eyes from this blissful scene to behold with dismay the Gogian devil of greed and hate, already taking his seat at the keyboard of war's great organ, and we await the opening blast of invasion's cruel cacophony. Gog, the leader of the great northern anti-theocratic power, and his lackeys stand poised to plunge this harmony of hope beneath the drowning discords of dissolution. Invasion, dire and devastating, is imminent. Israel is in peril. Before we follow the issue and seek to draw from the ancient biblical names of these predatory nations any possible and permissible identity with nations existing today, let us use this calm before the storm to notice another group of peoples which I have thought fit to distinguish from the Gogian hordes by dubbing them the parleying nations. In the nomenclature of Ezekiel's day, these ethnic groups are referred to as Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof. Reserving also to later messages in this series our attempt to identify these national entities, let us rather address ourselves to an examination of the role they play in this prophetic drama. We shall be disappointed if we are expecting an exhaustive delineation from Ezekiel regarding the behavior of Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof, for we have only one verse to which to turn for our information, the 13th verse of Ezekiel's 38th chapter. This one verse is a mere spark, quite insufficient to afford a total illumination of all the circumstance. Yet, I regret to say, some reckless enthusiasts have so stored their minds with materials from which the protective moisture of better judgment has been totally evaporated, that from the meager spark of this one verse, their imagination's eager storehouse has caught fire, and they have provided us with a veritable conflagration in which they invite us to view Britain and the United States of America locked in smoky battle with Soviet Russia. However true such a picture may become, the meager context of this one verse does not justify its presentation, and if we indulge in such imaginative combustions in misguided quest of the spectacular, we shall be likely to incinerate in reckless calcination the very truth for which we seek. Please let us treat this single verse, this little spark of prophetic light, with circumspection. In it, we find that Gog, the leader of the great anti-theocratic power north of Israel, is being addressed. Let me quote the prophetic words for you. Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Comest thou to take the spoil? Hast thou assembled thy company to take the prey? To carry away silver and gold? To take away cattle and goods? To take great spoil? It will be apparent to you, my listening friends, that the unstrained context of this single verse suggests an attitude rather than an action, for the comments are brief in content and interrogative in character. Gog, leading the Magogians, Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and supported by Paras, Cush, Put, Goma, and Togarmah, and many peoples, is bent upon the plunder of restored Israel. Directed towards this intention, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions thereof launch not a quietus, but a question, not an immolation, but an interrogation. Art thou come to take? What is behind this question? Is it an invitation to a parley, or is it the initiation of a protest? There is little to guide us on this point, because we are bereft of the tonal qualities in which the questions are launched. This renders decision well-nigh impossible. If we utter the questions in bellicose tones, we could infer a protest. And the more belligerent the intonation, the stronger the protest. On the other hand, if the cadence is conciliatory, the questions could be intended to assume the nature of an invitation to parley. Since we all lack the knowledge of the tone and tenor in which the questions are advanced, it is not surprising that some commentators have permitted their imaginations to supply that deficiency. Hence, some give to the inquiries a voice of protest, others a sound of avarice. The former suggest that Sheba, Dedan, Tarshish, and the young lions are dissentient nations, launching a diplomatic or military protest against the warlike Gog. The latter suggest that these are parleying nations, launching their inquiry because they hoped to derive personal gain by purchasing the goods plundered by Gog's armies. The use of the words merchants, you will agree, lends support to this latter view, for merchants buy and sell. They do not fight or issue international protests. Probably the interesting point of parley or protest will not be known until the time of the fulfillment of the prophecy. However, it is relatively unimportant, because whether one or the other, it is the eternal God of Israel, Baruch Hu, who launches against Gog the really effective protest which packs the scene with drama unsurpassed and demonstrates to the nations of the world that the God who lived in Moses' time is just the same today. That great leader David Ben-Gurion uttered words weighted with invincible verity when he said, "We face the difficulties ahead of us with confidence, for our trust is in the Rock of Israel." In my next message, we shall venture into the very scene of the Gogian invasion and prepare to view the advent of the God-sent intervention. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panavelecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.